I'd like now to welcome back to the show Jackie Fleming. She's founder of the Cimarron Sky Dog Wild Horse Sanctuary. Welcome, Jackie.
Hi.
It's good to have you back. We wanted a year in town, so we just thought we'd get you on the air for a bit for an update of what's happening at the Wild Dog. Wild Horse Sanctuary. Sky Dog is a Native American name for horses.
Yes. Well, an old Native American name for a horse.
But you have a sanctuary for wild horses.
Yes.
And it's a continual struggle to have enough space and enough land and enough grazing area for your horses.
Yes. I mean, we want our horses to be running free and grazing and not having to be supplemented if possible. And out here in this arid climate, that requires a lot of land. Other parts of America, of course, it's where it rains more, then, you don't need quite so much land. But out here in the high desert, you need a lot of land. And we're lucky right now, we're leasing 1,000 acres and we have 420 acres of our own. But that lease, doesn't belong to us and the land is for sale. So at any minute, we could lose that lease and then most of our horses would have to come back and stand in corrals.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. And so we're trying desperately to find a way to be able to, what I call, secure that land. It doesn't mean that we have to own it, but we're hoping that somebody else might come along and buy it and let us use it for grazing.
Right.
Because we are a 501c3 nonprofit, so there would be some incentives there.
Oh, that's interesting. So, ladies and gentlemen, if if anybody is listening right now who is interested in buying some land and not developing it and let horses run wild on it, that would be wonderful.
Yes, and there's a lot of land around us for sale. It's not just the lease. There's land all around us. It used to be a 10,000-acre ranch that got subdivided.
Where are you? Where is it?
It's up at Watrous, which is just north of Las Vegas, New Mexico.
Oh, okay.
And it's right on the Santa Fe Trail. It's very historic land. There's wagon ruts that run right through it. And it's...
I can't believe that wagon ruts last 100 years.
Well, they're
more
eroded. I mean, these are almost trenches at this point because they act as kind of arroyos over the years and the water runs through and now they're just big trenches. But I'm such a history buff, I get such a kick out of it. But it's also completely unspoiled land. It's had ranches out there, but really it's not been changed very much since, God, thousands of years maybe. And it's a wildlife refuge, basically. There's
and probably a wildlife corridor for migrating animals.
Oh, definitely. I know the elk use it. They go back and forth in huge numbers back and forth through there. So we'd hate to see houses going up and more fences going up because that's not only ugly, but it interferes with the movement of the wildlife to keep putting more and more fences up. So we really hope that we can find a way to do two things, preserve the land and have a place for our horses, in limited numbers, of course, because we don't want to be guilty of overgrazing. And it's very easy to do if there's drought or anything like that. And for year-round grazing, since the grass doesn't grow year-round, you have to have enough grass that's going to see them through the winter without them grazing it down to dirt.
Well, how has the winter been for the horses?
It's been pretty mild. We had a good December. We had rain and snow that stuck around for 3 weeks up there. January was very mild. We've had a few snowfalls in February. But it's really the spring that we're hoping is going to be a bonanza because that's when the grass starts to want to grow. And it won't unless we get rain. It can stay dormant for months if...
Right. And so it's really, there's probably a formula for this. The amount of rainfall per month is proportional to the number of horses you can graze on an acre of land.
Well, I don't know. I haven't heard it in that kind of formula. I've heard it more that out here in this climate, it should be about 60 to 70 acres per horse.
Wow.
For year-round grazing.
For year-round grazing. Whereas back east or in a place where there's a lot more rain, you don't need nearly that many acres per horse.
No, it's a handful of acres. And plus the grass is growing in most of those places year-round. I'm English and it's green year-round.
Yeah.
Whereas everyone comes out and sees horses standing out in brown grass, and they go, oh my god, it's so brown. It's like, because the grass is dormant. Like, it just, it's warm weather grass. It doesn't grow when it's freezing cold. So
how many horses do you have now?
30. We have 30 horses.
And where did they come from?
Well, some are from the Forestry Service in New Mexico. So we've got a good group of New Mexico Mustangs. And then we have Mustangs that I've adopted from the BLM, and they come from Wyoming, Nevada, and Utah. Just got one from Utah in January. And so they're a mixed bag.
And do they all, I mean, you have to introduce all these horses to each other. Do they all kind of form a family?
Well, they are now. I mean, obviously the new guy always has to go through hell. They go through the pecking order and the fights then. And of course, horses, you know, they can be petty. They can have their petty squabbles like any family can. But generally, once they have established themselves as a herd, they pretty much get along and are pretty bonded. And I'd like for them to stay together for the rest of their lives. We don't adopt our horses out because,
right. You
know, some of them have been through, you know, years at BLM pens being moved from place to place to place. And then, of course, initially they were separated from their wild herd. And so when they come to us, we really hope that that's the end of the journey for them and the
so
friends.
So they've been traumatized.
Some. I mean, I'm not going to say all treatment to BLM horses is bad. And I know the Forestry Service horses were treated very well because I saw that firsthand. And the Forestry Service horses I have were not rounded up by helicopters. They were rounded up with a bait and trap system, so they didn't go through the same experience as BLM horses. But I've got some horses that you corner them and they go ballistic, and others, they're just fine about it. They're not happy about it, but they don't panic. And so the ones that really, really panic to the point of they would rather be dead, you think, well, that's got to have come from an experience that left them not liking to be put back in that, because we have a chute if we have to give shots or worming and things like that, or feet. People are always asking us how we do that. We have a chute that we can put them in, and most of them tolerate it, and we get the job done without the horses getting hurt and without the people getting hurt. But we, you know, last year I got 3 from BLM pens, and we put them in the chute, and it was awful.
Yeah.
We nearly lost 2 of them. They would just panic to the point of just about killing themselves, and we were like, never again. They're never going in there again.
Yeah.
You know, and they had been in the BLM pens for 3 years each. So,
well, that's its own trauma.
Yeah.
If you're a wild horse.
Well, especially on the adoption.
It's like prison.
Well, they're on the adoption circuit. These weren't long-term holding horses. So these guys were moved around from adoption site to adoption site. So their whole life was about being put from one pen to this, to be in a truck, into this, to that, and constantly being moved around.
Why weren't they just left on the land where they were wild in the first place? Why are they being rounded up?
Well, because, you know, it's about numbers and how many horses the land can sustain. And the BLM says there's way too many horses that for the land to sustain. And so they've been their way of controlling the numbers has been to round them up and put them up for adoption. But there are close to 50,000 Mustangs standing around in BLM pens. So that system's obviously not working and hasn't been working for a long time. And so it's about numbers, but the argument is that, you know, there's millions of domestic animals, i.e. cows and sheep, grazing on the same land. There's less than 30,000 wild horses left and millions of cattle and sheep.
So it doesn't even make sense
to blame the horses for overgrazing at this stage, you know. And then, of course, there's a new competitor for the land, and that's the extractive industries, which is oil and gas and uranium. And they are coming into that country with a vengeance. I mean, it's a boom. And there are hundreds of thousands of oil and gas wells out there now.
And so the BLM wants to make that land. Well, I mean, if they're clearing horses for oil and gas, are they also clearing cows?
Well, I don't know where that stands right now. It doesn't seem like it, but, you know.
Interesting.
It's, you know, the damage done. I mean, I've been to the Jicarilla Wild Horse Territory in northern New Mexico, where they have, it's Forestry Service land, and they have wild horses out there. And there are over 900 wells, gas wells, out there. And they are bringing the horses down to 100. And, you know, it's a network of roads and well pads and pump jacks and generators pounding away all night long. And to continue...
So it's not a place for animals.
Well, to continue to blame the horses for any, you know, damage done to public lands at this point, it's, you know, it's not even true. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but logically it doesn't even make any sense. So...
So we're talking to Jackie Fleming of the Cimarron Sky Dog Wild Horse Sanctuary. So the call out today is, if there are people there who would like to actually buy some land in that area, Watrous, north of Las Vegas, New Mexico, they could get in touch with you and you could form some kind of collaboration.
Yes, I can put them in touch with the people who are selling it to and representing it. I mean, there's another thing, there's another option. You can buy the land and put it into New Mexico Land Conservancy, so you're conserving the land and preventing it from further subdivision. And there's some serious tax benefits from doing that, which are sellable and transferable, so they don't have to even be used in New Mexico. You could use them in a place where, you know, property taxes are way higher than here, and and you can if you don't need them, you can actually sell them, and so you would be looking up. You know, you'd have an land investment. You would have something you could sell for that, or keep for yourself if you've got land somewhere else and your property taxes are really high. And then there would be some tax incentives for allowing a nonprofit to use it, you know, for grazing. And like I said, we'd be limited numbers. We're not out to have thousands of horses, and we don't breed. We don't have stallions. We don't breed our horses. We would prefer.
So they're all neutered or spayed or whatever it's called.
Gelded. The males are gelded.
Okay.
And so it's not something where there's somebody's got good intentions and next thing they know, 3 years from now, their horse herd is expanded to the point that they can no longer control it. And that has happened with, you know, people that have not kept the breeding under control. We would prefer that if there's a space for a horse to come live at our sanctuary, that we get one out of a pen. We don't breed one.
Because there's some, but as you said, there's 50,000 horses.
Well, coming up, it's 47,000 was the last number I heard.
Oh.
And that's that, you know, with less than 30,000 left in the wild, most of America's wild horses are standing in pens now.
Amazing.
And the roundups continue. So,
Jackie Fleming is the founder of the Cimarron Sky Dog Wild Horse Sanctuary. How can people get in touch with you?
Well, they can get us through our website, which is cimarronskydog.org, and Cimarron spelt with two R's and one M.
Oh, I had it spelled wrong.
I know.
Cimarron.
Yes. Cimarron.
Cimarron.
Yes.
Skydog.org.
Yes. And my email, you can get me on my email, and the phone number's on there as well. I mean, I can give the phone number on the radio. It's 505-473-9598.
Excellent.
And, you know, there's lots from 140 acres to 1,000 acres and more for sale up there. And, you know, we would really love to see that land just stay wild.
Stay in conservation for so many reasons. Well, Jackie, thank you for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much for having me.